Let's turn now in our Bibles to the book of Psalms, the 119th Psalm, and we'll be reading verses 5 through 10. Page 658, if you're using the Scofield Reference Bible, Psalm 119, beginning with verse 5 and reading responsively through verse 10. Page 658. As is our custom to do, let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. The text verses are verses 8 and 9. I'll tell you that beforehand. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. And let's pray. Dear God, we pray for your help tonight. Without thee, there's no point in conducting a service. There's no point in our being here. But with thee and thy presence and thy power, then there's, of course, great blessing and joy and instruction and help. We need thee. And so bless with thy power and thy presence, bless the preaching, the preacher, each and every hearer of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are as good a Christian as you love this book. There may not be a better way to weigh your spiritual weight or to measure your spiritual growth any better than how much you love this book and how much you spend, this time you spend in this book. If you read a magazine for an hour a day and spend 5 minutes in the book, there's something missing. The average person in this room that lives in a dwelling, not those of you that are in Hiles Anderson or Penn State or State Penn, the average one of you spends 3 or 4 times as much time a day watching television as you do in this book. That's one of the saddest things I know. Brother Colston a while ago said that we got a signal to call in the office. He asked me always what the scripture is. And I said, Psalm 119:89. And he thought I said Psalm 119:8 and 9. I have a southern accent. He has northern ears, and so it's a problem. But you don't need to turn to it. Any place in the 119th Psalm would be a good text for the Word of God, because the whole thing's about the Word of God. But Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Now, that's it. It's sort of strange why anybody, if that's true, would want to spend their time on things that don't last. I mean, here's something right here that's already and forever will be settled in heaven. No other book ever written except this book and the Book of Mormon. And there's sometimes I doubt the Book of Mormon. Those times are between midnight and noon every day, and noon at midnight every day. But I mean, it's awful hard for me to understand. You know, I go to the airport, buy a newspaper, I'll see a deal of the National Enquirer or a National Star, and I see them in Brother Colston's office often too. And it says in there, what's this gal's name that's this fortune teller? Yeah, Jean Dixon. Gene Dixon's predictions for 1980 or 81. And folks buy that mess by the hundreds of thousands of copies. And the poor old gal's just guessing. And yet, I got a book here that has predictions all the way through. And they'll never, never, never go wrong. And yet you want to hear what Jane Dixon says instead of what John says, don't you? You do. We're going to work you guys over, I guarantee you. These guys down here said, amen. They'd rather hear what Gene Dixon said. Father, bless the message as we establish the truth again of that which is established and forever settled in heaven, even the Word of God. Amen. I flew into Huntington, West Virginia, and last Monday, and then I drove across the bridge there, the Ohio River, and preached in Proctorville, Ohio. And so a reporter asked if he could talk to me after the service on Tuesday night, and so I chatted. Reporter for some small paper, I'm not sure. But he asked me the question. He said, if you're on this question never been asked me before. He said, Dr. Howells, if you were on a desert island by yourself, boy, that sounds good. I mean, think about that. No budget. Anyway, he said, and you could only have three books. What books would you take? And I said, the Bible, Prudence and Cordance, and the latest book on shipbuilding. Now, I never have been asked that before. But you got it good. I'm pretty smart. I mean, that's what I need. Are you gagging over here somewhere? I'd rather have one line, just one little page, tear the page out, and one line of this book, and no other book ever printed, and to have every book ever printed and not have any of this book. Charles Dickens said, the New Testament is the best book the world has ever known or ever will know. Abraham Lincoln said, the best gift that God has ever given to man is the Bible. It was Moody who first said, sin will keep you from this book, and this book will keep you from sin. Sir Isaac Newton said, no science is better attested than the Bible. Wesley said, I'm a Bible bigot. We're admonished in the 5th chapter of John, verse 39, to search the Scriptures. In 1 Peter 1, 5, it says, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And the psalmist said, in 119:89, he said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. There's only one thing in this world that is forever settled in heaven. And that's the book I hold tonight. Then, why do we spend so much time on things that aren't settled forever? And I say this, but Pittsburgh Steelers are riding high right now, but it's going to come. They're going to crumble. And the Yankees rode high, and they crumbled, and they're back up again. But there's nothing in the world that's eternal except the book I have right here, this book. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Mountains are born and mountains die. They have both cradle and grave. The forest was once the sea, and some forest had been buried by the sea. Many islands of the sea are simply the tops of Sutton Mountain. The diameter of the earth is being altered daily. And yet, the old dust-covered book on your coffee table will never change. Mountains will someday become valleys. And valleys will swell to become mountains. And the stars in the sky will fall from their courses, like figs overripe falling from the tree. And the sky will be rolled up like a scroll. And the sun will turn black as sackcloth of hair to bring midnight at noonday. And the moon will become bloody red. Oceans are not here to stay. Mountains are not here to stay. The earth is not here to stay. Even heaven. The Bible says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. This old world is not here to stay. And even heaven, where our loved ones are, who died in Christ, is not there to stay. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away. But forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. It's all settled. It'll never change. Nobody ever adds to it. And once in a while, some charismatic preacher will say, I just got a revelation. God spoke to me audibly. The fellow came out of a prayer meeting down in Texas and said, God spoke to me. It's my job to pray for folks that have cavities and their teeth shall be filled. Biggest cavity I know of is not up here in his head. Bible pronounces a curse or a plague upon all those that add to or take away from this book. I mean, it's eternal. Heaven shall pass away. Mountains shall become like valleys, and seas shall become deserts, and deserts shall become oceans. But forever, the word of God is settled in heaven. Empires rise and fall. It's in Persia to replace Babylon. Alexander the Great of Greece replaces the Medes and Persians. A Carthage rises with 300,000 troops and 16,000 miles of coast. Her colonies on every coast of the known world. Her vessels on every sea. Hannibal says, he swears that eternal enmity shall be toward Rome. In less than 100 years, Rome came and rose and conquered the world. But Rome tonight lies in the cemetery where nations are buried that forgot God. And Babylon tonight has her epitaph on her tombstone that says, we forgot God. Alexander's rise and fall and the Caesars rise and fall. And Ramses of Egypt and the great empire of Egypt rises and falls. And King Tut rises and falls. Yet the old book that Mama read to me, a little two-room shack outside Dallas, Texas, is forever settled in heaven. It'll never change. Never change. They say, well, the Democrat, Mr. Carter's running for president. Maybe you knew that. And he says, don't vote for Reagan. He says, that'll set us back. Well, bless God, we need to get set back. They call me and Hammond, the Piltdown man. Somebody said, you're 25 years behind time. No, sir, I'm 2,000 years behind time. They asked me to preach out in California one time, Sunday school convention. The fellow before me, the three fellows spoke before me in the corner. One talked about a new method for a new day in Sunday school. Another talked about new curriculum for a new day in Sunday school. Third fellow talked about new programs for a new day in Sunday school. And I spoke on, ditch all that old new stuff and get back 2,000 years ago to the Word of God. Jeremiah said, seek the old path. The old path. The Bible never grows old. The Bible is newer tonight than tomorrow morning's newspaper. The Bible's fresher than the next Newsweek issue or Time Magazine issue. It's always new. And God never looks down and says, I didn't know that. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God?
God never says, uh-oh, or I'll declare, or I'll swan. Anybody on earth that's got any sense in education says that. But God never says it. God's never surprised. I mean, God's train is on schedule. And whatever God said 2,000 years ago, God believes tonight. Nations rise and fall. Kings rise and fall. At the old book, it's forever settled. Did you know the earth's center of gravity is changing? The hemisphere turns toward the sun and back. Did you know they say that flowers once grew in the Arctic and snow was once in the tropics? Live volcanoes die and dead volcanoes come to life. And yet, that neglected Gideon Bible in the motel room that I saw last Monday is forever. Please take the baby out now, quickly. Forever settled in heaven. And show them the nursery, would you please? That's exactly why we have the rule. Show them the nursery, one of you fellows back there, please. Read of Rome? Visit her now. Go to Rome. Look at the Pantheon. Look at the Colosseum. Look at the Roman Forum. The whole city of Rome. Nothing but a bunch of reminders of history. Just one massive tombstone reminding us that nothing is eternal. Except the Word of God. Go to Greece. Look at the Parthenon. Go to Mars Hill. Look at the massive ruins of that amazing structure. Go to Egypt, down to Karnak, or down to Luxor, and see the tombs of the kings. And go down those steps and see all the things those kings put inside their tombs so they could take them with them to the next land. What they need to do is not put certain things in chairs and beds and all kinds of things placed in those graves underground so that they can take them with them. But there's nothing you can take to the next world except the Word of God. It's forever settled in heaven. Look at the British Empire, where the sun used to never set, and now the sun never rises much on it. Look at the White House pictures of presidents. The New Deal becomes the Great Society. From Roosevelt to Johnson. The Great Society becomes the Great Gyp from Johnson to Carter. I mean, they pass off the scene. Hoover, Roosevelt, Truman, Kennedy, Eisenhower, Nixon, Ford, Carter, they pass off the scene. Don't put your hope, brother, in Mr. Reagan either. I mean, Mr. Reagan may be a conservative, he may be a good man, but brother, he's not the answer. The answer is Mom's old Bible. That's the answer. The stars come and go. I mean, heavenly stars come and go. And the stars of this world come. Marilyn Monroe's, take them as dope. And soon the Elvis Presley's join her. Yet the Bible they overlook is forever settled in heaven. Don't you set your anchor in pleasure. Don't you lower your anchor in money. The money will pass away. Heaven shall pass away. And earth shall pass away. And money shall pass away. And kingdom shall pass away. And pleasure shall pass away. And enjoyment shall pass away. And the whole world shall pass away. But this old book is forever settled in heaven. Now you spend, you put your anchor in the book. And you build your life on the book.
Wise man built his house on the rock. Wise man built his house.
That little child that sings that's got more sense than 99% of the politicians in Washington, D.C.
Foolish man built his house upon the sand. Mr. Kennedy, foolish man built his house upon the sand. Mr. Kennedy, foolish man built his house on the sand. Mr. McGovern, and the rains came tumbling down. Rains came down and the flood, and they will come up.
A little child that sings it has the truth. And listen, every problem in America can be solved
by that little child is solved. The Word of God forever is settled in heaven.
Bob Ingersoll's come and go. They come and they say the Bible's not true, and heaven is not real, and hell is not so, and salvation is not reality. They come and go, but the Word of God that they fought
is forever settled. Bob Ingersoll said, I have proved or disproved every Christian argument except the faith of my mother.
The Thomas Paine's come and go. Thomas Paine said, before my lifetime, you know, his lifetime, he said before his lifetime, the Bible would be extinct. And Thomas Paine died, they got his old printing press and used it to print Bibles. Stalin's can burn them and Hitler's can outlaw them. And Russia can make it against the law. The old one. But forever,
this old book is settled in heaven. And by the way, if they outlawed the Bible and took all our Bibles tonight, there's enough people in this room tonight that know enough of this book, we could rewrite it within a week's time. We'd just get out and say, what's Genesis 1:1?
I'd know that. Well, Claire knows Jeremiah 52 by heart. Jude, the third chapter, well, the Sully knows that by heart. Brother Moffat knows Hezekiah word for word. Let's hear it, huh?
Now, I'm saying that try
if you will. Douse it with water. Burn it with fire.
But this old book will last forever. Soon, Madeline Murray O'Hare will join Ingersoll and Thomas Paine in hell if she doesn't change. And the Word of God she laughs at will endure forever. Hitler burned it, and he's gone. Stalin burned it, and he's gone. Khrushchev burned it, and he's gone. Lenin burned it, and he's gone. The Bible rolls on. Used to have an old colored church down in Texas where I used to preach that sang, come on, that sang, let the church roll on. Let the church roll on. And the chorus had a lot of standards, but the chorus, let the church roll on. And one of them had a little bit short fellow sang bass. Said, and if the deacon's on the board, ain't doing right, the whole choir sang that.
If a deacon's on the board, ain't doing right. If a deacon's on the board, ain't doing right. If a deacon's on the board, ain't doing right. And then say, what are we going to do?
And the old bass would say, take the deacons off the board and put the board on them.
I mean, the church rolls on. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall prevail against it. Why? Because the church is built on this rock, and this rock is eternal. It's forever
settled in heaven. Nothing else is.
Put your money in the bank goes under, and your money's gone.
But forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven.
Spend your life trying to be pretty, get wrapped up in being pretty, and you get old and wrinkled and have to put buddy. Talk. And the beauty goes. You won't believe this, but I used to be a pretty nice looking fellow. And I'm not very pretty now, but I'm the best looking person. I'm the best looking person this side of the altar. Thank my one friend out there. Thank you. Everything changes except the Word of God. Tell the National Council of Churches the Bible's still true. They forgot it. Tell a Southern seminary the Bible's still true. Tell American Baptist Convention the Bible's still true. Forgot it. Well, you said to the house, I'm a new student of Howells Anderson College, and I am a student of Kierkegaard, and Brunner, and Niebuhr. Now, two words say to you. Let's make it one. Get. Get. I mean, we're going to build this church on something that is forever settled in heaven. And our schools on something that is forever settled in heaven. And listen, this kind of Christianity that says, Lord, I believe it from cover to cover, and yet you keep the cover shut. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about building your life. I'm talking about reading it. I'm talking about carrying it. I'm talking about memorizing. I'm talking about loving. I'm talking about meditating upon it. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. Folks come and go. Fads come and go. Go back to the old place. Go back to the old neighborhood and see how it's changed. Students, there's one thing you can bring from home that won't be different. That's the Word of God. Same Bible you put in your suitcase and brought to college with you, that's the same one you had at home. The area's not the same. Preacher's not the same. People not the same. If the accents aren't the same. But forever, the Word of God is settled in heaven. Fads may come, hippies, yippies, speaking, riots, Jesus freaks, rock music, disco, dope, liquor, all changes. Everything in the world's changing. I mean the whole world, everything's changing. And yet the Bible is always the same. It's always the same. People say, Dr. Files, don't you think religion's dead in America? I hope so. I hope so. Christianity built from the Bible will never die. I'll guarantee you that. Look at this old church tonight. Good night. Folks trying to find seats. Almost 93 years of age. Why is the old church, why is this building full tonight? The Word of God. The Word of God. The Bible! Let me just say a few things about that. I ain't sort of silly. Nowadays, I'm trying to have supper on Sunday night at 5 before the service so you can get them here for supper. And then maybe they'll stay for the evening service. Won't do it. I'm going to say something a lot of folks won't like. I'm not too infatuated with changing the time of your evening service so folks can get to the restaurant in time to eat. I mean, let the restaurant change the time they eat. I heard about churches, pardon me, things that call themselves churches, having service early so they go and watch Super Bowl. Super Bowl's going to be over. I mean, the Cowboys win it, it'll all be over for this year. All be over. A lamp. A light. A sword, water, fire, everything that God has ever done, everything that God has ever done has been done by His Word. The dawn of creation and God said, let there be light. The stars hang in the skies tonight because God placed them there by His Word. And God said, His Word put the stars in the sky. The moon shines tonight in the heavens. Why? By the Word of God. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And the sun rises tomorrow morning by the Word of God. And God said it. Everything God has ever done has been done by His Word. Our Lord was in the wilderness. Was the Word of God that brought Him victory over the tempter? Some of you folks have been tempted to sin and tempted wrong. And you go, oh, what can I do, Brother House? So young men come in and say, Brother House, I have lust in my heart. What can I do? Well, the Bible says that where will all? So young man cleanse his way by taking heed to the Word of God. That's what you do. Oh, you say, preacher, how can I find the will of God for my life? The Bible says it. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Again, he says, order thy step, my steps, according to thy word. Mr. Moody, talking to a fellow one time, and the fellow said, I don't believe the Bible. Mr. Moody just quoted Mark 16:16. He that believeth not shall be damned. The fellow said, no, you can't scare me with that. Mr. Moody says, he that believeth not shall be damned. He said, you're not going to make me worried. He said, he that believeth not shall be damned. He said, I don't even believe in heaven. Mr. Moody said, he that believeth not shall be damned. Just kept quoting Mark 16:16. He said, I don't believe in hell. He said, he that believeth not shall be damned. I don't believe your old kind of Christianity. Mr. Moody said, he that believeth not shall be damned. After he said that several times, the fellow fell to his face and asked Christ to come into his heart. It's the Word of God. Did you know that not only did God do everything He's ever done in the past by His Word, but everything God will ever do in the future is by His Word? I'm going to say this. I'm not opposed to promoting to get folks to come to Sunday school. Sometimes I lose patience with people that are so critical about such matters. But I want to tell you something. All that, unless it's built on the Word of God, it won't do it. It won't do it. When Jesus comes in the clouds of glory, the Antichrist comes and is revealed after rapture. We're up in heaven at the marriage of the Lamb, the judgment seat of Christ, and on earth the Antichrist is revealed. He'll form a union of Eastern Germany and Turkey and Libya. Don't be surprised, Billy Carter, and all this Libya mess. It's in the Bible. But when the Antichrist joins Russia, Eastern Germany, and Turkey, and Libya, Ethiopia, and Egypt, and the Arab nations, and they march on Little Palestine, and America says, you can't do that, and the Western Confederacy is formed, and America, and England, and the revived Roman Empire, and the common market nations march to defend Israel. And there, in that magnificent valley of Jezreel, standing up on the Mount of Olives, not a more beautiful sight in the entire world than that giant valley of Jezreel, where all the nations of this world shall congregate, and the Antichrist of the West shall fight against the forces of the East. And then China will come across the Euphrates River, which will be dried up, and China, and Russia, and the Northern Powers, and Eastern Germany, and Turkey, and Libya, and Ethiopia, and the Arab nations shall fight against America, and the Western nations, England, and the common market nations, a great battle there. The Western nations shall win. But the Antichrist will be in charge of the Western nations. Russia is not going to conquer the world in the end time. No, sir. No, sir. Western nations shall win, and it'll take 7 months to bury all the dead Russians that die in Israel. They'll hire people to go around and bury them. I'd like to be one of the guys that does that. And then the Antichrist shall establish his kingdom. In that day, he'll look to the south, and he'll see no king rising in the south. He will be ruler for a while of the entire world. He'll look toward the north and he'll see there's nobody there to challenge him. He'll look toward the east and find that China's been put down and Japan has been put down and no nation to challenge him and no king to rise against him in the east. He looks toward the west and says, that's all mine. And he goes up on the top of Megiddo there overlooking the valley of Jezreel. And he puts his chest out and says, I'm the king of the whole world. He looks north, he looks south, he looks east, he looks west. But bless your little pea-picking heart, there's one direction he forgot to look. He forgot to look up. And when he looks up, Jesus shall come. Wait a minute. How is our Lord going to put him down? By the word of his mouth. That's it. Now, that's what it takes for God to do His work, and yet you think you can go out and build a church without it. You think you can build rear children without it. The parents of the dozen in this room haven't read one word of this book to your kids all week long. If God Almighty had to use His Word to create this moon and the stars and the heavens and the earth, if God had to use His Word to put grass on this earth and a sun and moon in the heavens and raise trees and mountains and make flowers, if God had to use His Word to resist the tempter of Satan on the Mount of Temptation, if God had, they would have to use His Word to put down the Antichrist. You're not going to ruin your family without His Word. No, you're not. No, you're not. Years ago, I decided to believe it. I don't understand it all, but believe it all. And some of it, my intellect and my culture, and I'm not being facetious there, is hard for me to take. I'd rather not believe there's a hell, burning hell. But there is one because the Bible says there is one. And I believe it. I sat in a liberal college, university, state university, for a year. I heard the arguments of the heathen. I heard the professors make light of the Bible. Let me tell you something, brother. If it's wrong in our public schools to teach the Bible, it's wrong to teach anti-Bible. Boy, it makes me mad. And his little pink National Council of Churches, Benedict Arnold, say, "You don't believe in prayer in the Bible public school. We believe in separation of church and state." Those little pink National Council people, they were in a sword drill. Our beginners could find the Bible verses better than they could. And don't you ever let these so-called intellects try to convince you that they are so intellectual they have discovered the Bible is not true. I got on an airplane in Denver, Colorado, and flew from Denver to Chicago, and sat beside a fella. I said, "What kind of business are you in?" He said, "I'm a professor at Bucknell University." Had on big old clodhopper shoes. Still had mud on them that came from the flood in Noah's day. His hair looked like the suspension lines on a parachute after we used to jump. Old long beard and hippie hair. And I said, "Where do you work?" He said, I'm a professor at Bucknell University." And I said, "What do you think about the Bible?" "Well," he said, "we folks that are intellectual, we have proved it's not so." I said, "Have you read it?" He said, "Every word of it, many times." And I said, "I bet you haven't read the book of Hezekiah." He said, "It's my favorite book." I said, "How about the book of Jerusalem?" He said, "I know it well." And I said, "Okay, turn to both of them and read me the first verse." Don't you let these so-called scholars make you think they know something you don't know. The average one of them never even read this Bible. They don't know the Bible. They sat in some class and heard some crazy fool stand up and say it wasn't so. And they're parroting that idiot that said it wasn't so. The Bible said the fool has said in his heart there is no God. I mean, that's the... Don't. By the way, you let me hear one professor at Howells Anderson College say that this Bible just contains the thoughts of God, and each man put it in his own words. And you be thinking about that at University of Chicago Monday morning. You say that on Monday, you won't teach on Tuesday. And if you said before noon on Monday, you won't teach on Tuesday after Monday afternoon. I'm saying, listen, everything that God Almighty has ever done, He's done in a book. I sat in these classes. I heard a professor stand up and say that man was one time a one-cell creature. He said man was a little glob. I heard this said. He said just a round glob. Just sort of floating around. I've seen these globs in the disco. I've seen them, heard about it. I was in there soul winning one night. Sorry about that. But I've seen it. I heard the professor say that man didn't used to have any legs, this little ball. He said he got infected. He got a wart on his somewhere on the glob, and
And so he started scratching that wart in the ground. And he said that something had started, got him to start growing. He had a leg. And said that then he had another wart. I've often wondered what it would have been if the wart were on opposite sides of the ball. They call that education. There's not one believer in evolution alive that's a scholar. Not a one. They discovered some bones, you know. And they said, these are bones of a prehistoric man. And some guy told him, prove the fact that when his hogs had died, they're bones of a swine. And some guy says, we've discovered this, and this is over 50 million years old. Well, did it have a diary? I heard what they said. And they said, man couldn't see, but he had a freckle on this blob. And the freckle got infected with the sun, and it was an eye. They had another freckle. Now, what if a freckle had been on top of the wart? Only way you could see it. They call that science. Let me tell you something. I'm not kidding you. There's not one whit of scholarship in that kind of mess. Not one whit. Mr. Darwin himself said before he died, he was sorry he'd come out with a theory of evolution. They shook my faith. I was 20 years of age. State University. It shook my faith. It'll shake yours, too. If I'd have stayed in that state university 4 years, I would not believe this book tonight. And neither would you. And I recall one day, I began to wrestle. Is this book true? Is what Mama said true? What the professor said is true? And I decided to read this book. And I read this book, every word of it. I mean, begat so-and-so, every word of it. I said, oh, on my knees. And I said before I started reading it, I said, dear God, I want to know if it's true. If the Bible's true, tell me. And I got on my knees and read this whole book through, word for word. And I came off my knees after I finished Revelation 22 with faith and confidence that the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Forever settled in heaven. Somebody said, "Are your schools accredited? Do you mean to tell me that you want me to get our schools accredited by some ex-monkeys? Is that what you want? You ought to see some of these folks come in these schools anyhow, just from the second to check the ticket." I mean, you see them come in. You don't know whether to speak to them or spray them. You don't know. Right? Right? You don't know. It's not scholarship. Little house, you go to, somebody said, Dean Jorgensen graduated from Princeton. But honestly, I want to tell you something. You can get forgiven for that like any other sin. I'm more impressed for that Tennessee Temple degree he has. No, I've been to these universities. I don't feel inferior. There's more scholarship in the toilets of Hiles Anderson than he got in the classroom over at University of Chicago. You sound like that kind of preaching. You don't have any choice here. And this is the kind of preaching used to preach everywhere in the country. So I came off my knees with new faith in this book. Years ago, I found not only that, I found that the book was the answer for all the needs of life. Went off to college with a wife, $40, and a black cat. Spent the $40 and ate the black cat. I got on my knees on the courthouse square in Marshall, Texas, and turned my Bible to Jeremiah 33:3 and said, "Dear God, I claim that from my scripture, from my college education." Got off my knees, walked down to the J.C. Penney Company, walked in, a big heavy-set fellow, white-haired fellow, walked up. He said, I'm the manager. I said, "You're looking for me. I'm Mr. Croft." That's Mr. Croft. "My name's Jack Hyatt." Had the Bible open to Jeremiah 33:3. He said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "I've come to work here." He said, "We just fired 4 men. It's summertime. They haven't got any openings. Who sent you?" I said, "Jeremiah 33:3. He said, "Look here. Call on me and I'll answer thee and show thee great mighty things thou knowest not." I thought, just ask God for a job here upon the courthouse square and claim this verse. Mr. Croft looked at me and said, "You're hired." He said, "You'll either be the best salesman the JCPenney Company has ever had, or the biggest flop in the history of this county." And he said, "I'll die if I don't find out which one." I got a job. How did I get my job? Word of God. The Word of God. Years ago, I decided to preach it. Years ago, I decided to live in it. Old shack. I was in Texas last fall. Drove out of Ann Arbor Street. Drove down across the bridge. Used to be in the country. Up on the left, a hill on the left, there's a country house, a barn down just beside the creek. And out back in the back of that country house, a little two-room shack with an outhouse back in the back. Oh, my. Oh, my. I wouldn't want to relive those days. Cold, cold, cold. And there's a little old shack where we had a wood stove. Kerosene lamps and lanterns. Shack's gone now. There's a housing development there, paved streets. Houses built all over there. It's in town now. Shack's gone. But Mama's Bible that she read to me in that little shack, neath the light of a kerosene lamp and the heat of a wood stove, is forever settled in heaven. The old church has changed. It used to be the Farmer Baptist Church. Now there's a black church there, man. I don't know what it's called. I think it's called the Lower Bethlehem, New Jerusalem Black Baptist Church of the Apostolic Faith of the Saints of the old generation. It's pastored by George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, Jones. Who lives in a two-room shack and drives a Cadillac car. And the shack is just barely big enough to cover his color television set. Now the church has changed. Farmer Baptist Church, where I grew up. But the Word of God, Brother McDowell preached there, is forever settled in heaven. Several years ago, I went down to Marshall, Texas. I was preaching in Longview. I drove 20 miles that afternoon to Marshall, where I pastored my first full-time church, where I went to college. Drove out in the country, out of Highway 43 on the way to Henderson. Stopped at the little building where I used to preach, Grange Hall Baptist Church. I laid the floor in the building with my own hands. I built the first building program I ever had. Cost $4,000. Borrowed $4,000 from the bank. I never forget. I got to preach that building. Had 14 pews deep. Seated 300 people. I thought, man, I'll never be heard back in the back. Scared to death. I wanted to go to the old church and see it. Drove up in front. Knocked on the door, nobody came. I shook the door, nobody came. I shook it harder and broke the lock and walked in. A bunch of ladies playing bridge. It's the Rebecca Lodge now. The lady said, "What are you doing in here?" I said, "What are you doing in here?" She said, "This is a lodge." I said, "Lady, I laid that floor. Baptistries. Planter, flower box." I stood where I used to preach, and tears rolled down my cheeks. The old building's changed. Bless your heart, the Word of God that was preached there is forever settled in heaven. It's hard to face the changes of life. You freshmen, I've been thinking about you. It's hard to grow older. It's often hard. It's hard to go to bed at night and realize that you're gone. You'll never live again at your mom and dad's house. It's awfully hard. Life's that way, it changes. And when you go home, it won't be the same next summer. Some will be gone. Some moved. Won't be the same. Nothing's ever the same. It's awful hard. It's hard to realize that when you have a baby of your own, you'll never be a child again. You sort of grow up, I think, when you get to the place where you realize that those days were all gone. Life is that way. When you get my age, you sort of, 53, you equate everything according to how many years you got left. Little child, a lady says, "See my baby?" I look at the baby and say, "When that baby gets married, I'll be 75, probably." Stop and think about it. Whenever I've been to this church, as long as I've been here already, I'll be 74 years old. Everything changes. But when the last mountain is melted, and the last ocean has boiled down to be dry, become dry, and the last king has stepped off his throne, and the last empire has crumbled, and the last flower has folded its hands, and the last star has left its socket in the heavens, and the last day the moon shines, and the last day the sun heats makes the daylight, there'll still be that book. Build your life around it. Spend hours in it. Learn it. Love it. Meditate upon it. Hear the scripture that says, "You abide in me and my words abide in you." He said, "That's what you will." Hear the scripture that says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted with a river of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither in whatsoever he doeth." I'll tell you something, professors. The day is going to come when algebra will be in the past. And nobody will ever continue their pursuit for X. Spent half my life hunting for it. X. And the cotangent and the tangent and the cosine and the sine will be history, bless God. And no little child should ever have to memorize in English class, "Von got a feeling that his short is salty. The drop of March is pierced to the roti. And bothered every vein in speech of the poor." While some English teacher goes, "Oh, that's what lasts. That's poetry that endures." It ain't endured anywhere except in the mind of some English teacher. I'm not against it. That's Chaucer. And I like it. But it'll all pass away. But that teacher out of Hiles Anderson College, City Baptist High School, stands up and teaches Bible. He's placing something in the breast and the heart and the soul of those children that's forever settled in heaven. How much do you read it? How much do you think about it? What does it mean to you? You answer those questions, and I'll tell you how good a Christian you are. Heavenly Father, I'm going to quit. I pray that our people shall live in the Bible, love the Bible, study the Bible, delight in the Bible, meditate upon the Bible, Our heads are bowed. Better still, look at me for a minute.
You know how I preach this? I preached it tonight because we're getting busy again. We're getting busy again. And it's going to be harder and harder to read this book. It won't be as easy in the fall as it was in the high school students. You're going to be reading outside reading, doing reports, basketball, football, activities. Whatever you do, you just put this book first.